Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, here we go. Second hour tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, June the 12th. Here we are live from AM 1380, WLRM Radio, in Memphis, Tennessee, going out via satellite to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, where you can tune in live or after the fact, thanks to the broadcast archives. Great show tonight so far. Keith Alexander and I spent the bulk of the first hour talking about my brand new book, Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda, available for sale tonight at racismbook.com, racismbook.com. We talked a little bit about our show last week where we premiered the book from a live remote broadcast in Nashville, Tennessee at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference. We interviewed about 15 of the more prominent leaders in the America First paleoconservative community, Bill Rowland and I did, but I'm now happy to welcome another co-host to the studio, as we are now back home in Memphis, Winston Smith. Winston, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing very well, my friend. Even after my little cardiac episode there, I'm doing very well, I'm glad to say.
Well, if people don't know what Winston's referring to, we did put it up on the blog last week. Yes, indeed, this man suffered a heart attack just over a week ago, and here he is in the studio tonight. Now, that is the kind of steely resolve you would expect from a warrior on the hosting staff of the Political Cesspool radio program. But Winston, by all means, if you want to, indulge the audience a little bit about your situation.
Oh, sure. It wasn't quite a heart attack. I was well on the way to having one, though. Let me tell you something, folks. Learn the symptoms of a heart attack, and if you think you're having those symptoms, please, by all means, get help. I want to thank the emergency responders who came in quickly and talked me into letting them haul me to the hospital. What had happened was I had the symptoms, and I didn't want to really act on them, but I started getting a little concerned when I started getting lightheaded. I got in touch with somebody and asked them if I could talk to somebody, and that person did exactly what I didn't want them to do. They freaked out. And so that person immediately called the emergency responders who came and assessed me and did an EKG, and sure enough found out that I was having a cardiac event. And they took me to the emergency room, and they did a where they send the camera up to your veins to look at it. The catheterization.
Right.
They did a cardiac catheterization on me, found an artery on my heart that was blocked to the point that it should not have been. And they took care of it right there. And I'll tell you, it was certainly an eye-opening experience to me. Rather than talk about that, though, James, I really want to thank the people out there who have sent me all of the emails and wishes for a speedy recovery and all the words of encouragement. We have the best audience in the world, James. These people have sent me emails that really touch my heart. And the common consensus among all those emails, James, is that you need to get off the radio and let me and Eddie and Bill handle it.
I need to have a heart attack.
No such thing. But folks, thank you so much for your words of encouragement, your thoughts, and your prayers. They are not wasted. I appreciate every one of them. As I said, we have the best audience in the world. These people, they love unconditionally. They have the deepest concern, and I've always been proud to be associated with our audience, but now I have a level of affection for our listeners that I just didn't have heretofore. I always had an affection for our audience, but now even more so. I'm grateful, James. You should be proud of the audience you've cultured over the past years.
Well, we've done it together, that's for sure, and certainly our listening audience is our extended family. We've said it time and time again, and we mean it every time. But, Winston, I will tell you this. I don't think you could have survived last week's show in Nashville amongst the 200 of our extended family members as they gathered around us, and we did the remote broadcast from the ballroom there at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference, and in addition to debuting the book, we had all these great guests, all these great fans, and then Tim Adams. Of course, you've read the story. I'm sure it's gone viral over the internet. Keith Alexander and I touched on it at the top of the first hour. This is a gentleman who was introduced to the world by the Political Cesspool radio program we have on our website tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org, a YouTube video that was put up by a third party that launched a media frenzy over the course of the last 4 or 5 days. What makes the story so potentially groundbreaking is that Tim Adams was a senior elections clerk in Honolulu, Hawaii, during the 2008 presidential campaign and claims to have direct knowledge that there was no long-form birth certificate. And as I said, every element thus far of his story that has been fact-checked has been proven to be true. Tim did work for the Hawaii Division of Elections as a clerk during the time frame that he says. We have been swamped with media inquiries ever since Mr. Adams appeared on our show last weekend. I had worked, of course, as I mentioned, in cooperation with Joe Kovacs, executive news editor at WorldNet Daily. The following story by WorldNet Daily has been published, and you can read that story on our website, too, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And WorldNet Daily gives us the credit for people beginning to pay attention to Tim Adams after he was interviewed just briefly by Bill Rowland and I on the show last week here on Liberty News Radio. And if the rest of his claims, Winston, can also be proven true, then this is primed to be an absolutely explosive national news story that you heard first right here on TPC and the Liberty News Radio Network. Exciting story. And as I said, this gentleman, Tim Adams, fan of our show, came forward at the live remote to let this information be known. He had been talking about it for the last 2 years. No one ever paid him much mind. But then when he came on the political cesspool, that changed, particularly after so many facts of this story have been proven correct. And he is a teacher at Western Kentucky University, very much a gentleman and a scholar, and not a crackpot, as some of these people who have come up with hoaxes have been. So while we don't know Tim Adams personally, other than meeting him briefly last week at the remote, the stuff that has been proven true by these investigative journalists at WorldNet Daily certainly give his story a lot more smoke than it had before. Whether that turns into a flame remains to be seen, but you heard it here first on TPC, Winston.
That's a typical refrain, James. We tend to scoop the competition. We tend to look at the stories that no one else will touch, and then once we do get our hands on them, well, they do become big stories. And this is one, as you said, this has the potential for being mighty. It can have a lot of impact here. I certainly do pray for the safety of this gentleman, because he has painted a big bullseye on him, and you know that the Obamaoists are going to attack him ruthlessly and mercilessly. For now, he's a teacher, a college professor. I kind of doubt that he will be so much longer if this story does gain any traction in the national media, which, again, I'm not holding my breath that it'll do that, but we'll keep hammering on it because we are interested in the truth. And, you know, this kind of smacks of the truth, James. We've checked out the man's credentials, and other organizations have checked out his credentials, and he does seem to be the real thing.
A genuine article. The only part that hasn't been proven yet, of course, is whether or not he can prove that there was no long-form birth certificate. But so far, so good. You can't get any better than 100% thus far. And again, to know that this kind of people we have in our audience, we have newsmakers. We don't just report on the news. We make the news here in the political cesspool. And it's just another reason why our show is such a program of record. You know, Jerome Corsi, released the best-selling book, went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list in 2008, The Obama Nation. And Jerome Corsi was calling us on Tuesday asking for my help to put him in touch with Tim Adams. So, you know, this show, the audience has built this show. Everything we do, of course, is credited to our audience, and rightfully so. But it, together, we have built a show that really commands a lot of attention and a lot of respect. So we'll continue to follow this story. Not much more to say that we haven't already said. You can read, of course, the follow-up story that WorldNet Daily provided by going to our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to shift gears. Winston's got a lot on the plate. We're going to get to it right after this.
We'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to this evening's spring of the political cesspool, the South's foremost populist radio program. I'm Winston Smith, and James has stepped away from the microphone, so I'm going to take over for a bit. And again, it's my pleasure to be back in the saddle, so to speak. And once again, folks, thank you so much for your letters and your emails. Appreciate it. And it's my pleasure to be here. I'm comfortable and feeling good, so let's get right into it. All right, my friends. If you haven't done so already, you need to pull up an internet article titled, Cell Phone Video Captures Classroom Beating. Again, that title is, Cell Phone Video Captures Classroom Beating. The story is out of Española, New Mexico, and it tells of an incident at the Carlos Vigil Middle School in which a 13-year-old student was beaten by a 14-year-old student. Nine other students circled them to keep the teacher from intervening. The story doesn't mention the races of the attacker and the victim. In fact, that this story was not even mentioned in national news is the real confirmation of the racial makeup of the participants. An amazing amount of information is available in what is left out of stories like this, and you can figure out the races of both the attacker and the victim just from the information I've already given you. And the fact that nine other students circled them to protect the attacker tells you even more about the attacker and her accomplices. Besides that, the cell phone video that accompanies the story really tells the story. And though the video is typical of cell phone video, the races of the attacker and the victim are clear enough. The attacker's skin is brown, the victim's skin is white. The title of this article calls the incident a classroom beating. But, my friends, when you watch this video, then you'll see that it was not just beating. It was a vicious, brutal, savage assault. Watching this video will make your jaw drop. And when you combine the brutality of the attack with the way the other students ran interference for the attacker, then you get a notion of just how diabolical this attack was. At least 10 mestizo thugs carefully planned the timing and the execution of this assault. At least 10 mestizo thugs premeditated it with malice and forethought. They set up a plan to attack that white girl and beat her to a bloody pulp. Mestizo culture is so vibrant, and we owe so much to our neighbors from the South, even when they break our laws to come into our country. Of course, we know that if the races were reversed, then that video would have gotten 24/7 play. We would have seen it all over the place. The Española, New Mexico chapter of La Raza would have been everywhere. and next to a classroom at Carlos Vigil Middle School, the most dangerous place to be in Española, New Mexico, would have been between a television camera and a mestizo advocate. The SPLC would have posted it on their silly little blog, and it would have run a story about the rampant horde of neo-Nazis in Española, New Mexico. You know how they get. But, my friends, what needs to happen in Española, New Mexico is that white parents need to storm the office of the school superintendent and demand the immediate and permanent expulsion of those mestizo animals who set upon that white girl. The parents of that white girl need to file lawsuits against the parents of those thugs, up to and including finding out if their parents are in our country illegally. The parents of that white girl need to file lawsuits against the school system. The white people in Española, New Mexico, need to seize this and let the mestizo population of Española, New Mexico know that they are putting them on notice, that if this kind of thing ever happens again, there is going to be hell to pay. And the white people of Española, New Mexico need to be fully prepared to back it up. Anything less will only ensure that more white kids will be attacked with even greater ferocity, barbarity, and sadism than was dispensed on that white girl. I urge you to pull this article up. It's titled, Cell Phone Video Captures Classroom Beating. You will be shocked at what you see there. And you will also be shocked at the dispassionate response of the school superintendent. Her only concern is how to redistribute the security guards in the schools. Yes, they're having suspension hearings, and she says there will be expulsions, but you know how far those will go. The mestizo advocacy groups will jump in, and they'll be overturned, and within a few months, those kids will be right back in school, in class, and that poor girl will be a target again. Now, earlier, I mentioned the SPLC's blog, and I go there occasionally because it perpetually reconfirms just what scum the Jews and fags and Jew fags of the SPLC are. I wonder how long it'll be before they review Racism Schmacism by James Edwards. Order your copy now at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org, $19.99 plus $5 shipping and handling.
Thank you, Winston.
But sometimes the SPLC blog is actually amusing. Here's their latest entry. It's titled, As Gulf Oil Spreads, So Do Slippery Conspiracy Theories. As BP and federal officials struggle to deal with the eruption of millions of gallons of oil from the ocean floor following an April 20th explosion of BP's Deepwater Horizon oil rig, conspiracy buffs in the anti-government patriot movement, or anti-government patriot world, are hard at work coming up with unusual explanations for the disaster. The blog goes on to mention four or five examples of conspiracy theories that are currently making the rounds on the internet and various talk show outlets. I always laugh when the SPLC uses the phrase conspiracy theorists, because they always use it in a disparaging way. But when you read the SPLC's garbage, and when you listen to the pablum they spew on CNN, you quickly see that they are the most prolific conspiracy theorists in America, right up there with Abe Jew Fossman and the ADL. One proof among the dozens I can cite is the report about which I'm now speaking, the blog entry about which I'm now speaking. What the SPLC is saying is that there's this shadowy group of people and other groups out there. They're loosely connected, but they're seeking a common end, and they have nefarious motives and questionable morality and probably are hygiene challenged, certainly not to be trusted, and needing to be constantly watched, lest they hatch their evil plans. And that's what the SPLC is saying. That's what they say about everyone with whom they disagree. But it sounds to me like they have a conspiracy theory. And their conspiracy is that there's this shadowy group of people and groups out there loosely connected, as I said earlier. The hypocrisy of organizations like the SPLC and the ADL, it knows no bounds. But as I said, if you just remember that they are the most prolific conspiracy theorists around.
Listen, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Got to take a break.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of the All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. The Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you for tonight's second hour. We're going to go to the phones here. We've got a gentleman who's been patiently waiting to get on for over an hour now, so let's go directly to Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What can we do for you?
Oh, yes. As far as what's going on in the world, there's a book out called The Camp of the Saints.
Right.
If you want to know where America's heading towards, read the book called The Camp of the Saints. I was looking at the book review online, but I do have a modification, which is I believe where America's heading towards is basically a person like Obama is letting down the castle gates and letting in all the revolutionaries, and you're going to see America be torn apart from within by the third world. This country is at war with the third world. And the book Camp of the Saints, which was written back in 1973, talked about France being taken over nonviolently. We're going to be taken over violently, and the heads of America will be Russia, China, and the Middle East. It's just
Camp of the Saints. I'll ask Winston. Of course, I'm familiar with it. I know Winston will be as well. It's a classic, an absolute classic. I don't know if this country is yet at war with the Third World, but the Third World is certainly at war with us, and it's something that needs to be rectified, hopefully by peaceful and legal ways. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population, and the more and more we become inundated with these people, the less we're going to look like the America we used to know, the America we all want to fight to reclaim.
Exactly.
But Jeff, you're right on target. Winston, you're familiar with Camp of the Saints, yes?
Well, yes, I am. But to comment on the caller's comments, which, by the way, I can barely hear him, so I don't know if I'm going to hit all of his points. I don't think we're really at war with the third world. I think they've already won. After all, you've got our president siding with the president of Mexico and siding with the people of Mexico before he sides with the American people. During the health care reform debate, 70% of the American people didn't want that horrible piece of legislation, but he didn't care what the American people wanted. And 70% of the American people like the Arizona immigration law, but he sides with Mexico on the thing. When is this president going to side with the American people? Well, we know he's not going to, because first, he's not an American, and we know that he's a sham. We know that he has ulterior motives, and we know who controls him. Rahm Emanuel and Rahm Emanuel's ilk, they control him. They've got Obama's you know what in their vice like grip, and they're leading him down the primrose path.
Jeff, you waited a long time to get on. I'll give you the final word before we move on to the next caller.
The final word is this: I don't believe it's about race. I believe it's about ideology. This country is, we don't know it yet, but we are fighting a socialist collectivist ideology. And that ideology, I'm afraid, is winning. And when it does win, we just have to let this thing run its course, like all fallen civilizations in history. Just be ready to hold on to your hats, hunker down, because it's going to be rough. Look at communist Russia. Thanks a lot for having me on your program, and have a good night.
Jeff, thank you for the call. You made a lot of good points, but I will tell you this. Our enemies certainly think it's about race. They band together as unique ethno-states and ethnocentric peoples, and we need to do the same in order to level the playing field, not at the expense of anyone else, but certainly we should be entitled to stand up and combine our resources and talents in the interest of our own self-preservation, just as the minority groups do. And until we do, until the European Americans do that, or until the Europeans or so on and so forth do that, then we're always going to be at a disadvantage. Let's go now to one of my good friends, Bobby Lee, the mouth of the South, host of a great talk show on WTAN 1340 AM in Tampa, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, Florida. Bobby Lee hosted me on his program this past Tuesday to promote my new book, which you can buy for yourself at racismbook.com. Bobby Lee, what a surprise to have you call in tonight. What can we do for you?
Well, listen, I want to tell you, you know, people better buy two of those books if they have a wife or a girlfriend, because I'll tell you, you know, every time I put that book down, Phyllis kind of grabs it and kind of moves into another room, and there she is. She likes it just as much as I do, and she wants to say hello to you also, James.
All right.
Hi, James. I'm
How
proud
you doing,
to be white.
Mrs. Bobby Lee. You know, Bobby Lee was just one of the many celebrities that was on hand at the CFCC conference in Nashville. He sat in for a guest spot on our live remote a week ago tonight, and I am just honored to have met him and to have been networking with him. He's been on this show, we've been on his show, and now he's back. And, Bobby, it's going well.
You know, it's really a wonderful book. Everybody should have it. Everybody that has some intelligence, anybody that loves their race, their heritage, their Christian understanding, and the belief that we have something to be proud of, which we certainly do. I mean, after all, 95% of all the inventions in the history of the world were accomplished by our Christian European brothers. And that also goes for over 95% of the patents. Why wouldn't we be proud of something? That is our heritage, our race, and because we are white, that wonderful little college in Delaware called Delaware Strait signified that all whites are racist. Of course, Delaware State, as you know, probably is a black school. So for them, we're all racist. What a group of funny nuts those people are. So
Bobby,
you were wonderful. I'll tell you, everybody should Google up Council of Conservative Citizens also. And then after that, of course, racismbook.com. The book is wonderful. We had such a nice group of people and so intelligent. The most intelligent men in the world were right at the Radisson last week in Nashville, and you were the best part of it of all, James.
Bobby, I got to tell you, you are earning that paycheck tonight, baby. You're getting every dollar's worth. No, but everything Bobby's saying is true, of course, but I especially want to point out what he said is true about the fact that we have so much to be proud of as a unique people, and why would we be willing to let all that go and cower in shame because someone who hates us and hates our family, hates our history, heritage, and heroes, why would we give them the power to make us ashamed of everything that we are and everything that we've done just because they have the ability to utter the word racist? Well, my book will really set that straight. Winston, I know there's a lot of things Bobby Lee said right there, probably something of which you'd want to comment on.
Oh, yeah, there's lots I'd like to comment on. Mainly, I'd like to say this. Bobby, I've never been on your show.
You can certainly be on my show. James will tell you how to get in touch with me as my telephone number, but I will give you that number anyway. And it's 239 218 4028. You can call me on my telephone anytime. I'm white. I have beautiful blonde hair, hazel eyes. I'm a white man, and you can call me anytime, and I don't care who has my number.
Well, Bobby, you might come to regret that, but let's hope now. But I will tell you this, and I got to say it again. Bobby Lee, on the air right now on the Political Cesspool, Bobby Lee is the mouth of the South and has a very big audience in the Tampa, Florida, Clearwater, St. Petersburg area. He hosts a show every Tuesday, replayed on Thursdays, on AM 1340 WTAN right there in Tampa, where I go every year to see Frankie Valli in concert at Ruth Eckert Hall. And the next time, me and Bobby Lee might be singing along to the oldies. Who knows?
Well, you might be singing, but probably not me. But yeah. Oh, one thing I just want to bring up, though. I'll tell you, James, it's so hypocritical. On CNN a little while ago, they had a situation in Prescott, Arizona, where they were putting up a big sign, and it said, well, we are not racist. And I love Prescott. I've been there on two or three occasions. But anyway, some idiot put this sign up. We are not racist. And they had a picture of a black man there.
Yeah.
But they had the artist that drew the sign, they wanted them to tone down the color.
Hold on, Bobby, we got to come back after a break. Stay tuned.
If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, here we go. Locked and loaded. James Edwards and Winston Smith hosting this hour of the political cesspool from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. With us now is Bobby Lee. He hosts the show Conspiracy Facts on AM 1340 WTAN Tampa, Florida. And Bobby, right before that last break, you had enough time to get in that you had witnessed or seen a picture of, I'm assuming, going to bet you a dollar to a donut, it was a white person or a group of white people holding a sign up in Arizona because, again, undoubtedly they had been called racists for saying that perhaps Arizona should enforce its laws and protect its citizens by securing the borders. So they've been called a racist for wanting the laws to be upheld. And what do? They do exactly what they wouldn't have done, what they shouldn't be doing, according to my book. They have come up with a sign trying to argue with the left over whether or not they're racist. They're trotting out their token minority friends. And what is happening? Well, two things. Number one, they're no longer focused on making sure Arizona secures the border because they're spending their time and efforts debating in an unwinnable argument over whether or not they're racist. And number two, no matter how many black friends they have, they're still going to get denounced as racist because they're white. And number two, I don't even know if the liberals believe that they're racist or not. They just know that by calling them that, it will silence them and get them derailed off of the good track. Winston, we got Bobby Lee. I tell you, this guy's just full of fire. What do you make of the story he just shared with us?
I couldn't agree with you more, James. In fact, I was writing down my notes as to what I wanted to say about this, and it pretty much mirrors what you said. The Marxist mestizos and those who aid and abet them are thrilled when Americans hold up signs and proclaim that we are not racist, because every minute that we spend fighting off a spurious and false accusation of racism is a minute that we should be using to get illegal aliens out of our country. And besides that, illegal mestizos and those who aid and abet them will never, never, ever stop calling us racist.
That's exactly right, and not to interrupt, but you and Bobby have got me fired up now. This is exactly why I wrote this book. these are exactly the people that need to read this book, because if they had read my book before they started, you know, trotted out and held up that stupid sign, they wouldn't have made the mistake. They would be on the front lines. They would have remained on the front lines fighting the battle to put America first and not debating with an evil enemy that is never, you're never going to curry favor with. Bobby Lee, what do you make of it, and what else do you have for us?
Well, let me tell you that I went through Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte today. I was in Port Charlotte, and I'm coming down the street, and all of a sudden I see all these banners and signs on one side, and I look, and I don't know for sure what it is. And it is a pro-Arizona rally in Port Charlotte, Florida.
I like
and,
that.
On both sides. Now, I was honking my horn just as long as I could, and then I went down to the end of the street and, oh, a couple blocks, turned around, came back, and did the same thing. There were a lot of people out there, all pro-Arizona, pro. They want the government of this country. We have a law in this country that illegals cannot come across into our country, a country that can't control its borders is no country at all. It's no government.
Well, I can't get, Bobby, you're 100% right. I can't stop thinking about the people in Prescott that you mentioned earlier. If anyone listening to the show tonight knows these people, please send them to racismbook.com, or better yet, order a copy for them yourself. And if you know, if you're listening and you know anybody like that in your circle of friends or your family, you know, this is the antidote to that kryptonite. This is what's going to make
it. James, Phyllis wants to say hello to you. Phyllis wants to tell you a little bit how much she loves the book. Here she is.
This is Phyllis, Bobby Lee's wife.
Hi, James. This
hey,
is Phyllis.
How's it going?
Going very well down here in hot Florida. Just want to tell you, I'm enjoying your book immensely. Thank you for writing it. It just flows. It's almost like you're speaking on the mic as I read it. And thank you. We are not ashamed. We are not apologetic for being white European racist. That's the main thing I'm getting out of it so far. I haven't finished it yet, but let me tell you, we've accomplished a lot. We don't have to cow down to the people that would call us anything else but great. So we're proud and we're white. Thanks,
well,
James.
I thank you for adding a feminine voice to this program that has far too much testosterone. It's always good to have a nice, fair lady on the airwaves and gracing us with her presence. And thank you for the comment and the compliment. I mean, certainly that's the message that I want people to get when reading the book. And you haven't quite finished it yet, but you've gotten a lot of it so far. So I hope that you We'll still have that opinion by the time you've gotten to the back cover, but so far I couldn't be happier with that critique. God bless you, and thanks for the kind words.
Yes, and you do it with much humor as well. I mean, it flows very well. Thank you again, James.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Phyllis. And yes, you know, it is written, it's a very serious book, Kevin McDonald said, this very serious book, it's very much a book that's packed with a lot of facts and resources. It takes on some very important issues, but it's also written in a way that's humorous and quite mocking, takes on the racism industry in a sarcastic and witty way. And, you know, far too often our people are too dour, too sour. They, you know, they just got a bad taste in their mouth. They're always upset. And we, you know, we're facing some very formidable enemies. But
right.
That doesn't mean we have to lose our sense of humor. We can get the word across. We can tell the truth in love and have a good time while doing it. And I think in reading this book, it will encourage you, uplift you, make you laugh, and make you understand some very serious points all at the same time. So anyway, not that I had planned this hour to get into another promotion of the book, but Phyllis and Bobby Lee have brought out the best in me. Once you get me talking about this book, I am proud enough about it to get going. But gentlemen, we have just but about 3 minutes left in this segment. Rather than me continue to talk about it, I will just tell people one more time, for more information, go to www.racismbook.com, and Winston, I'll give you and Bobby Lee the final word.
All right. Thanks, James. And Bobby, it's been my pleasure to talk with you. Come on and show anytime, and I'll be calling you here sometime. But folks, if you want to really make a dent in this debate, don't go out there with your sign saying you are not a racist. Take out a sign that says La Raza is racist. Take out a sign that says Father Mahoney is racist. Take out a sign that talks about how utterly racist the people who aid and abet these illegals are. They're the truthness.
Bobby Lee, final word from you.
I just wanted to say that I am totally impressed. And one other thing, we had Derek Black. I don't know if you mentioned Derek, but he was there last week.
Absolutely.
He has a show on also, right straight out of Palm Beach, Florida, the West Palm Beach, Florida, and it's 1340. You're 1380. I'm also 1340, but he's 1340 also. And Derek is only 21 years old. And his dad is Don Black, and Don is, I've known for 20 years. I've known Derek for 20 years. The point is he has his own radio show. It's a pro-white radio show, pro-white. He started, he was doing one day a week, then he's going to two, and now he's going to more. And between the three of us, you're number one, James. Derek is number two. I'm way down in number three, but the three of us combined, we're going to take this country back.
I'll tell you what, Bobby, I don't know about that pecking order, but we all get medals, that's for sure, gold, silver, and bronze. But we're all getting a medal one way or the other. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is another point that's made in the book. To be pro-white is not to be anti-anything. I am motivated only by the love in my heart, the affinity and affection I have for my family. You can be pro-white, and that does not mean racist. It is not racist to love your family and to be appreciative of your heritage. So when we say pro-white, we mean we love who we are, and we're not ashamed of it, and that is it. Bobby Lee, thank you, my friend, for calling in. It was a pleasant surprise to have you on the air again tonight. I look forward to doing it again soon. Winston, as always, and my brother, my comrade in arms, great to co-host an hour of the program with you. We'll do it again next week. And for everyone else, stay tuned because there's still one more hour to come tonight here on the Political Cesspool radio program. Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be sliding in. We wore Bill Rowland out last week. He's taking a break tonight, but all the other co-hosts are making appearances. Keith, Winston, and Eddie standing by here in the green room. We're going to get him on in just a second. Of course, I'm James Edwards, and we have much more coming your way in the third hour tonight. When we go into the commercial break, why don't you do yourself a favor? Check out racismbook.com. I'll see you in a minute.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.